podcast episode 2. Super excited that you're joining me today. I have some really dope guests. We're going to have a fire conversation, so make sure you tap in. But before we talk about that, I want to ask you, have you watched and listened to episode 1 yet? Because if you have not, I need you to go back and run that back. I was able to have my mother as a guest. She was amazing. She talked about, you know, the struggles of having miscarriages, the loss of her mother. She talked about, you know, struggles of not being supported by the church community. But she also talked about how God got her through all of that. So please be sure to check it out. Now, let's talk about today. I've got 2 amazing guests. They are phenomenal. So I would like to introduce to you Paul Tapp Ware and his beautiful wife, Marion. Hey, y'all.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good.
Are you good? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. How you guys feeling about being here?
Excited.
I'm excited.
It's fun. Yeah.
We're going to have a really great conversation. But we're not going to tell them the topic yet. Before we do that, I want to talk to Paul real quick. You and I go way back to Plank and Fortney.
Yeah.
Like dirt road.
Oh, yeah.
Like elementary school.
Country boy,
playing
country
in the
girl.
Dirt. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Remember those weird pictures in elementary?
We don't need to talk about any of that. We look better now.
Yeah, so, we do. The glow up is for real.
Yes. And then I went away for a little bit, but you got really close to my brother.
Yeah, RJ.
And you guys decided you wanted to be rappers?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember any of your songs?
You talking about before Christ or after Christ?
Yeah, because you was like secular and then Christian.
Yeah, we got a whole
Christ.
Oh, yeah, I remember a couple.
Okay, I wonder, do we have anything
to remind you guys us? I remember this track. I stayed up all night and I just freestyled the whole verse.
This is my part.
You gotta go, huh?
You was rapping?
My God.
My God. Okay. That was dope. What happened? Did you stop? You could turn. What happened that you stopped doing music?
So you know. I got married.
That'll do it.
I mean, priority shift, right? Okay. Single dude, didn't have much doing. You know, I was in college, so I was just working on music.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first ministry isn't music. It's called My Wife.
I know that's
And so
right.
I think we got priorities shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent time just cleaving, you know? Okay. We got 4 babies out of Cleveland, okay. Man. I tell you. Cleveland season is for real.
Yes. Y'all was Cleveland. Okay.
But so really focusing on knowing my wife, aligning our goals.
Yes.
And going from there and really pursuing God, not just in the aspect of having music. Because music is a great part of ministry, but it's not the focal point.
Right.
The focal point is relationship and loving people.
Okay.
And so that began to be my mission. Now, speaking of music, oh my gosh, I am working on stuff again.
Are you?
Boy is coming out of the cave.
Okay.
I feel like it's a great season to go back into the studio.
Okay.
I have over, so through the years, what people don't know, I got my phone, and so I got, I've been recording my voice on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have over 150 different songs.
Okay.
So we're going to start working, and oh my goodness, so stoked. I might be coming back to this studio.
Nice. What studio are we at?
Breakthrough.
Songs.
Come on.
Yes. Nice. So we're going to come back to that, but I want to talk to you all about you all. We're not going to go into your testimonies yet, but I do want you all to share with everybody a little bit about like who you are, what you do as a couple and individually. Can we do that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, sweet.
Nice.
Well, I do a lot of inner healing, which is I call Rafa sessions, because growing up there was a lot of lies and things I believed that were just garbage.
Okay.
And a lot of pains and hurts that I brought into the marriage, where we learned to do really dive into the root cause of what is really going on. And so because of our experience, we have now kind of brought that into what I do now with others, is Rapha sessions, inner healing. Nice, and so nice. I'm passionate about doing that. Also, I do homeschooling, so that's a lot of time consuming, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay.
My boys are my world.
And there's four?
My husband. There's four.
Yes.
Okay. That's four.
What are their ages?
My oldest is 10, 8, and the twins are 5.
So you're busy.
Oh, very busy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, going back to Rapha healing, mm-hmm. what's Rapha for those who might not know?
Rapha is the God who heals.
Hey, you better say it one more time just because I want to hear it.
The God who heals.
I know that's right. Okay. So that is amazing. And so you're homeschooling, you're doing Rapha healings, mm-hmm. and you're helping out at the church.
Yes.
What church are you helping out at?
So I help my husband with a lot of whatever he needs help with at mm-hmm. Restoration Chapel.
Nice. Yeah. Restoration Chapel. Yes. What's Restoration Chapel, Paul?
Man, Tap. Just to be real, mm-hmm. it started off as a Maple View Mennonite. It was like a church because it got planted by the Amish mm-hmm. that got radically saved. So they started a church called Maple View Mennonite.
Wow.
So I'm like the last pastor of Maple View Mennonite.
Wow.
Maple View Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to do, when I came in, I was like, hey, we need to rebrand. We need to redo. There's been a lot of pain mm-hmm. in this church. So we mm-hmm. need to redo. And so that's where Restoration Chapel got birthed at.
Nice.
Like something that isn't constricting only to mm-hmm. people of certain denominational mm-hmm. viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
but just a place where we want to bring heaven to earth so everyone's invited.
Nice. That's awesome. Do you do anything outside of Restoration Chapel?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So,
okay.
Oh my gosh, you're going to be first to get the scoop.
Okay.
So, outside of Restoration, mm-hmm. we started a ministry called As You Go.
Mm-hmm.
A-Z-U-G-O.
Okay.
Jesus said, as you go, preach the kingdom of God. So we started As You Go. And so we go around equipping believers. Like I have mm-hmm. another conference in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I did one in Jamestown,
mm-hmm.
PA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm speaking at a tent revival this summer. So,
nice.
So there's a lot of things going on that we do outside the church besides mm-hmm. just making sure everything's healthy inside the building, but it's nice, really to equip nice. The body at large, regional,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to kind of bring the kingdom. I mean,
yeah,
discipling. I really believe in living this thing out.
Yeah, so you're discipling, it sounds like.
A lot of discipling.
Yes, nice. Are you guys having a good time?
Yes.
Nice.
We love it.
Nice.
I love it.
Awesome. So that's amazing to hear where you are right now, but why you're really here is because we want to talk about where you came from. Right?
Right.
When I first reached out to you all, I let you know that I really felt that God was pressing on my heart for you all to be, really, you were the first guests that were highlighted to me. I believe God gave me permission to have my mom as the first guest to honor Mother's Day and honor her, but you two were the first two that were highlighted to me. And I really believe it was a God idea, and I feel it was even confirmed when I contacted you all, because I had already booked studio, and I was like, it's the 28th. That's when I'm going to be there. Can y'all come? And I was just like so ecstatic when you said, that's the only day that we have available.
Right.
So I just thought that was super cool. And I'm like, okay, God, like, I know you're in this. So very excited. Thank you so much for your yes. I'm super honored to have you both here. So thank you. But let's get to it. So Heart Sleeve is a podcast that has real raw conversations amongst the redeemed, aka the saints, right? And sometimes the saints be sometimesy, right? Sometimes we want to talk about this, but we don't want to talk about that, right? And one of those things that I've heard said in the church is that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, is not really concerned with race and equity and all of those things. And I don't agree.
No.
I don't agree at all. Because the Bible that I read, my Bible with the Lord in it, you know, I hear in there about the Pharisees, the Gentiles, the mm-hmm. Samaritans. You know, there's talk of the leper, the woman at the well, the tax collector, right? And so what's in common with a lot of these people or groups that we hear about in the Bible, they're different, right? And so people don't want anything to do with them. Or they're just of a different culture, different ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
and they're not the chosen people.
Yeah.
you know, and Jesus was there like shaking stuff up. You know, he was talking to the people that people didn't want to talk to. And so I refuse to believe that he's not concerned with us calling in those that people cast out. You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're here to talk about, because I feel like y'all are about to teach us something. And I'm super excited about it. I do believe that Jesus wants everyone to be included, but he does pay attention to those moments when they're not.
Oh, yeah.
So that being said, I'd like to talk about where you all come from. And whomever wants to start, we'll talk about where you came from, and then we'll go from there. So who wants to start?
You want to start?
You can, sweetie.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting us.
Yes.
I appreciate it. We are honored and so excited.
Yes.
So, I grew up Amish, and I was radically born again when I encountered Jesus. For the first time, I went to a church that I was forbidden to go to because we were not allowed to listen to any ministry, any preaching outside of the Amish.
Mm.
So when I asked my friend if I could go with him to a church that was not Amish, it was scary for me, but also I was so excited to hear the word preached in English where I could actually understand it, because in the Amish church, they preach in German, which we don't actually speak German. We speak this Pennsylvania Dutch.
Mm.
And so it's basically right back into like how the Roman Catholic Church used to be.
Okay.
Where they would speak Latin, but mm-hmm. they spoke German.
Mm-hmm.
So I got radically born again that day when I went to the church for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got born again, I could not wait to go share it with my family because they got to know this.
Right.
Who doesn't
right.
want to know that yes. there's a gift of salvation available? You don't have to work for it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to earn it. And so, well, that didn't go well because, I mean, you got to work for it. You can't just have free salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened through that, I was, what I really want to talk about is when I was out really ministering to just people, whoever I saw was hurting or God highlighted to me, I was just pouring out love and truth, and that's just where my heart was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I met him. That's how I met Tap. I was invited to my friend's house where they had a bonfire, and they said, hey, there's these women here who need some ministry. Like they need, they're coming out of the Amish, but they're so afraid. They're afraid of being deceived. And so I was like, well, of course I'm going to come. I was so tired, but I'm like, of course I'm going to come, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was my friend, but then he worked with her fiance. So when I got there, they said, oh, well, we invited this friend of ours and he's going to come because he loves Jesus and
aww,
he's going to share about
awesome.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that's the day I met Tap. And during this time, I had told Jesus that you are enough for me.
Mm.
I don't need a man in my life because Jesus is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I added, after I met him, I said, but if you want to send a man, a husband,
yeah,
send someone like Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Send me a husband like Tap.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And he said, the Lord whispered, mm-hmm. why not Tap?
Wow.
But that was against my culture, my belief that I grew up, that was a sin.
Mm.
I was taught that was a sin.
Wow.
So when God whispered, why not Tap? I said, wait, is that okay?
Mm.
And so it confronted that lie that I believed. And I had to say, wait a minute, like, why is this what I believe?
Mm-hmm.
And so by confronting that lie and saying, well, why not Tap? I went to the scriptures and I said, well, what does Jesus say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sure doesn't say that it's a sin.
Right.
He says we're all equal. Mm-hmm. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so, that's kind of where it all started.
That's awesome. We're going to unpack some of what you said.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was a lot.
Yeah.
But I love that you got the whisper, why not Tap?
Yeah.
That's dope. That's awesome. So when Marion met you, you loved Jesus, and you still love Jesus. Did you start off that way?
Probably not, no. You know, just the, I think pretty typical, raised in black church, inner city, really family oriented church. It came out of like the holiness, Pentecostal, granddaddy was Baptist, grandmama Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a family style church, which was fun because I got to see my relatives, but at the same time, a lot of the Christian things we did just didn't really jive with me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I like living water. Don't add Kool-Aid to it. Don't add all your additives. Just give me the living water.
Right,
So it made me not really want God because I saw some stuff and I'm like, I really don't want to do any of this Jesus thing. Mm-hmm. It seems a lot of work. And if I have to work this hard to get God to love me and accept me, dang, I'm going to screw up every day. So I really wasn't feeling it. So I kind of did the other thing. I did what my other cousins was doing. Smoking, selling drugs, smoking, and whatever else we can get into.
Wow. And how did that change for you?
Well, March 2006, I overdosed and died and went to hell.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Oh, did dude. I don't know. I know people thought I went crazy. They said, dude, you had a bad drug or something. I was like, no, dude, I did some drugs. I did X. I did all this crazy stuff. But I was over at my dude Terrence's house. We made this water bunk contraption that had some propane junk in it. Oh, my gosh. We were wilding out. Like, and it was my idea. That's the bad part. So I ended up smoke, you know, made it out of that, smoked some weed in it, took a hit and knew something was off.
Wow.
And there I go, dead, boom.
So when you came back alive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What happened?
Well, me coming back alive is great, but it's what happened when I was dead that made me come back alive.
Okay, okay.
So the story goes like, you know, Jesus comes and gets me out of hell. Like, you know, this Jesus that they preach about, that we hear about, but it seems far and off, and he's muffled with all this religious stuff. He shows up. And he's like, he gave me some options. And I know people are like, what are you talking about? This goes against a lot of even theology of what we preach here. He gave me options, dude. He's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, all right, I give you everything.
Wow.
And then I came back into my body like a man coming out of water if he was drowning. Deep breath. And called my mom that night and said, I need to talk to everyone. Went home, shared all the crazy stuff I was doing.
Wow.
We prayed. And this is the cool part. Like, you know, I believe that this whole Jesus, Christianity thing should be more spiritual than it is religion as it is right now. So, like, as I prayed, I saw my eyes shift. So it sounds crazy, but I saw my eyes that were on my, that I had at one time, come out of my sockets and fall to the ground. And ever since then, there's, like, my eyes have changed. Like, there's been a blue ring around my eyes and everything. Like, that wasn't there before. So this is something that Jesus did for me personally to let me know, like, hey, dude, this stuff is so real. And so ever since then, I've just been...
radical.
Yeah, I mean, all my friends thought I was tripping. They're like, bro, you don't want to... I used to be the biggest pothead.
I did not know that.
Oh, my gosh. I used to smoke weed every day. Because I couldn't function, you know, like, a lot of internal work and pain going on.
Yeah.
Plus, I grew up in Orwell, and you already know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, you, if you black in Orwell, man, good Lord. Back then, it was bad. We would say they had rabbit season, deer season, and then...
We're not going to go there, Paul. Yeah. That's not the podcast we're here for. Okay, so you came back. You are radical for Jesus. And, you know, you had your rap season, secular, Christian, all of that. You go to this bonfire. You meet Marion. You all obviously get married and start a life together. Was everything just, like, easy and roses and set after that?
I wish it could have been, but no, there was challenges with family, you know, extended family. Nobody even came to my, none of my family came to our wedding. So that, you know, it was just expected. That was expected. So I wasn't disappointed about it. But
why was it expected?
that was expected that nobody shows up because that was not a, that was a sin in their eyes. So it was like, oh, you don't have our blessing. I remember the first time that my grandfather actually met Tab. We went over to see my grandmother who had stage four cancer, and we thought we were going to miss him, but as we were walking out, he was walking into the driveway and he looked at him and he said, I'm so angry that you married my granddaughter. You know, it's redbirds with redbirds and bluebirds with bluebirds. And it was like, just what does that even mean? Like, what does that even mean? And I remember Tap replied, he's like, well, we're penguins.
There goes that laugh that I do. So, okay.
But yeah, it was a lot of mean things that were thrown at us and insinuated. And, you know, there would always be things said about us like, oh, it'll never last. Like, they'll never last. And so it was really hurtful.
Wow.
But it was also a way that I felt we are modeling something that they've never seen that is going to change the way that they think.
Yeah.
So because I get to do that, I feel like we are changing generations. And that to me is so beautiful and amazing that God would let me carry that and experience that.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And it's awesome that you are willing to give God your yes too, because I'm sure it's not easy. Right. There's a lot of pain. I know a little bit about, you know, hurt that comes from family. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, we get through it, but it's not easy. So I commend you. And I thank God that you are able to do that despite the things that you faced. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so how about you? How was that for you from your point of view?
Well, I think for me, it's a different culture. I mean, I lived around the Amish, but never fully submerged myself in that culture. So I just, what changed for me was when I found out that they don't even really know the gospel. I was working at this factory, and a guy told me, he grew up Amish. He's like, but we don't even know the gospel. We are taught that our rules is how we get to heaven. And so I had a moment where I just cried. I was like, whoa, you mean in my own backyard, there are people who never even heard the gospel or anything. So that's kind of been my driving point, like just loving them and sharing the gospel with them.
Yeah.
And dealing with her family, man, I remember the first day I met her dad and mom. Like, she was going to go over to their house. And I was in college, so I called her, hey, let's go watch this movie. I think it was Fireproof or something like that. Don't remember. She's like, no, God kind of told me I need to go see my parents. And I was like, can I go with you? She's like, let me call my parents first. So, you know, story goes, I end up going with her. Pull up to this farmhouse. You know, there's no electricity. They have, like, propane and kerosene lights in the window. Full-blown Amish home, buggies and everything. I go in. The dad meets me at the front door. He goes and says, you're not falling in love with my daughter, are you? I'm like, at this time, we weren't even talking like that. I just came to share the gospel. So I tell him, get your Bible. So they get their Bible. We gather around the table. I share the gospel, and they give their lives to Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
That's a true story.
And they still struggle with this when we started getting a relationship. They struggle with it because it was going against, like, I think they were everything Amish 50, 40 years. So so this is weird for them. So even her brothers, oh my gosh. How many siblings do you have again,
sweetie? I have 4 brothers and 4 sisters.
Nice.
Yeah. All Amish, right? Her brothers did not like me. And this was so funny because every time they would see me, they liked me and they hated the fact that they would like me, so they didn't want to see me. Because they said there was something different that was drawing them. I'm like, yeah, it's Jesus.
Right.
You know? So, and then as time goes on, you know, all your siblings come to Christ.
So your whole family has come to Christ?
My whole family. Starting from my sisters, and my dad would look at me and say, this is on your head. I'm like, okay. And then just continued all my brothers and my sisters, and then they came to the Lord because of Tab.
Wow.
And then, yeah, just the rest of my family, one after another.
Wow.
And they're all have a relationship with Jesus now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Like, that's powerful. Because I don't know how I would have done that. So, I mean, yeah, it's Jesus, obviously, but that's phenomenal. So beyond the family, though, you all have a church.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Is the church black? Is the church white? What, you know, talk to me about that.
That's really good. It's multicultural. Right now, it's predominantly white, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we do. Yeah. We're starting to see. I mean, I'm the pastor, so we have to get some color in there. I like fried chicken, watermelon, you know. Oh, man, I know that's stereotypical, but gosh.
I cannot.
Oh, man. No, but it's becoming more diverse, you mm-hmm. know. And so the goal isn't really to make it a black church
mm-hmm.
or a white church. And mm-hmm. if, one time when I got voted in, because it was a minute.
You got voted in.
Voted in.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, like, it was, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a whole different culture. I'm used to, hey, you're called by God.
Mm.
They did, like, a vote. And so I got voted in. By that time, it was predominantly all former Mennonites, or they were raised in that church.
Wow.
And after I got voted in, like, what, 3/4 of the church left.
Mm.
Yeah. So that looks so weird, doesn't it? Like, I'm there. New pastor, and 3/4 of the church walks out.
Wow. Wow. And can you tell me what are you saying Mennonite?
Mennonite.
Okay. What does that mean?
So the Mennonites, they're part of the Anabaptist culture. So in the Anabaptists, which really just means baptized again.
Okay.
The Mennonites, a branch of that.
Okay.
And so you have more conservative Mennonites mm-hmm. and not so conservative.
Okay.
You know, but they really just stick to an Anabaptist theological worldview.
Okay. And so when you got voted in, so some of them voted you in.
Dude, I became a Mennonite pastor. Like, you got to realize how silly. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, that's got to be Jesus.
It is Jesus. I'm like, on paper, Tap becoming the Mennonite pastor.
Right.
Tap married an Amish girl. Tap, like, I'm like, this don't make sense, Jesus.
Yes, that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It disrupts what people think to be true and what they've known. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I feel like that's what Jesus did in the Bible. You know, he came to show truth. And break people free from the things that were holding them captive. So you are this pastor of this church,
mm-hmm.
3/4 walk out.
Yeah.
How did you get from there as a couple to where you are now?
You know, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say that we didn't have hard times and we didn't, like, there was some tears, there a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. When God speaks a word to you,
mm-hmm.
you either got to live through his word or live by what you're experiencing in the moment.
Mm.
And so that's what I'm like, I have to ask myself, am I called?
Mm.
Is this what God called us for? I remember, oh man, so gosh, the Holy Ghost right now, so good. I remember, like, you know, I called God Papa. Papa spoke to me and said, I want you to bring revival to the Amish community, to that area that I live in. I said, okay. So I haven't seen the revival that he promised me yet, so I'm not done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome. I was just reading in the Bible. I'm in Hebrews right now, and it talks about, you know, having that faith like Abraham and Moses and all those people. Like, some of them didn't get to see some of the promises that God told them about, but they kept believing. They kept going, knowing that God is God. So what he says must be true.
Come on.
And I love that. And I love what you just said. Like, you're not done. He told you this is what's going to come out of it. This is what he's called you for. So you got work to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How do you factor into all of this?
I support him in every way, any way I can. Prayer, just whatever he needs, really. Because sometimes it's me just encouraging him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we didn't have somebody to encourage us, so we would encourage each other.
Yes.
And so that's really what we've done for each other. When he was down and saying, you know, what's God up to?
Mm-hmm.
Or I was there to encourage him, to remind him of God's promises. Mm. And then vice versa, when I would go through something, he was there to encourage me. And that's kind of how we have been through ministry in our life.
That's amazing. And I would imagine your testimony has been helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel that that's also been a part of the journey?
Absolutely. Because I always said that it will be impossible. I don't believe my family will ever, ever understand the truth, because I would take that gospel to them every week for years. Mm. I would take that to them, and I would, you know, show them in the Bible, and I would pray for them. I would weep and intercede years. And then he comes, and the first day he harvests. But I had said, I remember when I told the Lord, I said, they're never going to get it. They'll never get it, I said. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, so you're saying I can't do the impossible. Mm. And in that moment, I was like, Lord, forgive me. I repent.
He checked
you
real
quick.
You
can do the impossible.
Yes.
And I started thanking him from then on. I would just thank him. And that's kind of like my life now. I know he can do the impossible. Mm. And so I just thank him. Even though it looks impossible, it feels impossible, you thank him because he can do the impossible.
This is so good. Listen, literally been stuck on just the word faith all week.
Yeah.
You just have to believe that God is God.
Amen.
And if you don't believe in God, you don't believe he is who he says he is, how are we going to believe that he can do what he says he's going to do?
That's right.
I love that.
Yeah.
That was powerful, Mary. Okay, don't get me started over here. I know we have to bring this to an end, but I want to know, you know, you all started off, we talked a little bit about Marion's family. How was your family through all of this?
You know, it's kind of cool, like, what happened.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, I left the family church, you know, grew up in it.
Woo, that's big.
And some of, you know, so as much as there was a grieving process for me.
Yeah.
Like, leaving behind what I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My mom's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's like the reverend of the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They like co-pastor together.
Gotcha.
And then I leave.
Mm-hmm.
Your son who they prayed for got radically transformed. But I leave because I'm like, guys, there's more to this Jesus thing than what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to watch. Like, my parents and me, we've always been in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would come home and tell them stories about how many people got touched today, how many people got healed. So they would see that.
Yeah.
But some of my other family, extended, they thought I went crazy. They're like, this dude was on drugs, now he's on a different thing, and he's crazy. But they got to watch through the years. It took like 10 years for them to see that this stuff that you were saying to us, that we thought you went in the deep end, we're starting to realize you ain't crazy.
Mm.
We're starting to see, like, what you said you believe, we're starting to see it.
Wow.
We're starting to, and it's making sense.
Mm.
And some of the stuff that we were doing that we believe, this ritual stuff, we're seeing why you don't do that.
Mm.
And I've had people come, like my family, come to me and say, wow, siblings, like, you're an inspiration. And just, man, you were the last one I ever thought would be following Jesus.
Yeah. I knew the Paul back then. So
she didn't, so she has no
idea. This is a testimony. Yes. That is amazing. So it sounds like, you know, your immediate family, especially your parents, were supportive, even though it was hard to let go of that, of their son.
Yeah.
And you all had to work, you know, through this together to kind of work through what was happening with your family until God brought them into the fold. Which isn't well until they accepted, because he was already willing, right, to bring them in. Right. So that is phenomenal. But you're still in. Now, what area is your church?
Burton, Ohio. We're in Geauga County.
Okay.
So it's like,
that's still Amish.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We're surrounded by the church. It's surrounded by Amish families on both sides.
Yeah.
We're on the back road. Now, this is really cool. We're on the back road.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I remember seeing
it. Oh, man. And it's really cool because, this is back road, and the Geauga Fair is on the same road.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just there. And it's like, God, you put me in the middle of nowhere, you know, in a sense.
Yet people are finding you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in my heart is like, that they
amazing.
Find him, find us, because he's drawing and not just us doing stuff.
It's got to be God, because you're in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a community that didn't know the gospel, that doesn't know the gospel. So people walking into your doors outside of the people that you know, it's got to be God.
Yeah.
We even have people running in the driveway at times, like Amish girls were not just Amish, but that's something that we always wanted to have, like a safe haven, like anybody, everyone is welcome.
Yes.
And we've had every person just show up, and even some Amish girls just running into our, we need prayer. We need prayer.
Gosh.
And so I just believe that God does have us there for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to figure out how to bring this all to a close. But I guess what I would want to know is, so we started off this conversation, your story, your testimony is beautiful. It's amazing. And God is definitely using you in that region for such a time as this, right?
Okay.
I see the videos on Facebook where you're just like radically going out, praying over people. People are being healed. Marion, your spirit is just amazing. You're so humble and just so sweet in spirit. Mm-hmm. And the way that you talk about Holy Spirit and how Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's just, it's refreshing.
Thank you.
Amazing. You're absolutely welcome. So I know that God is using you too, and I know there's a reason why he called for you two to be here. If there was a final thought, or something you would want to say to the audience, keeping in mind that we're talking about, you know, the disruption of ignoring race and division, but also making sure we're keeping, making sure we're including everyone. Like, what would that final message be? That's kind of like a
Castle.
Lot.
Hmm.
You got it, though. I believe in you.
Well, when I look at me and her and her stories, like, it don't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense at all. Like, for her, marrying a black dude is like, the bitches with priests, you're going to hell.
Mm.
For me, I didn't see myself with an Amish girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say to people, like, this stuff matters to God so much that he would take two unlikely people, put them together to be a testimony of his goodness. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And on paper, you write this out, don't make sense.
It don't make sense.
But when God writes it out, it makes complete sense.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And so we see this as being a challenge to like the thought process out there where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I mean, oh my goodness, we have had like 2 to 3 more couples who have... Girls who have been Amish and dudes who have been black getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. It's like this whole little thing happening now. The one dude was a Haitian and he's from Florida.
Okay.
The other dude's my dude, Ivy.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Ivy,
I did their wedding, Ivy and Rose. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
And it's not that we're trying to start a bunch of
a movement.
A movement of black guys with Amish girls.
Mm-hmm.
But even to the point where one of my dudes who I really poured into, his name's Ben, grew up Amish. He's dating a girl. He's marrying a girl who didn't grow up Amish.
Mm.
Like, and so we believe all this stuff is occurring because God is saying, I want to disrupt the normal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring
what appears to be normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring something in that is going to catch your attention, but it's going to point back to Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, your entire testimony, your entire story is full of faith and, you know, believing God to do the things that don't seem likely. So I really love that. But it's about disruption, too. It's disrupting this mindset that things have to be this way, that rules have to be followed. It's disrupting religion over relationship and flipping that. If we're going to do radical, if we're going to see God move, it's got to be relationship. We've got to be able to hear from God and know God. And he's using you guys to do that. So I love it.
Yes.
I love this. Yes. Thank you so much for being on Heartsleeve and for having this conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share? Because I want to make sure I don't cut y'all off.
I think just love. Love. Mm-hmm. Love is so powerful. Like, I grew up with so much fear, living in fear, constant fear, not even knowing. And it's just knowing that when we flow through love, everything else just happens naturally.
Yeah, the love of Christ, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, yes, it'll be all types of love out there. But
right,
yes,
yes.
And God has not given us a spirit of fear,
amen,
but of power and of love,
amen,
and of a sound mind. That's good. That, okay. Mm-hmm. Anything?
I just would echo that.
Yeah.
Like, it's really all it's about.
Yeah.
It's really, you said it, babe.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you. We're gonna wrap up, but I am so grateful that you all were here. I really feel Holy Spirit led me to reach out to you all, and you all were so willing to be here and drive like far to get here. So thank you. Traffic was wild. So thank you so much. Before we go, I do want to honor you for coming. So you could bring that to me. Just got you all a little something.
Aww.
So this is for you.
Thank you.
It's for you both. There is, you know, the workout bottle is for,
oh,
for,
oh, yeah,
for Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the stuff's for you.
Boom.
Y'all can share the candy. Ooh. And there were no sanitizer scents that I thought you
this
would
is great.
Be.
I'm going to use this.
You're going to use that.
I just threw my other one out.
Now, within there is a small gift of appreciation. And I am hopeful, my prayer is that you all will use that for you two.
Yeah.
To do something together, or get something for each other. But I know that as parents, we want to, you know, do things for our children, but I'm hopeful that you will use it for you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you
I
again.
Love
yes. Okay. So I got a good gift. And thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to go back and watch episode 1. Like, share, and subscribe for this episode, and come back in 2 weeks for episode 3. Bye.